Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to episode 105 of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Chris McShane. Chris, last week on Mets Twitter, Mets Twitter is always a kerfluffle, but the specific kerfluffle from last week's Mets Twitter kerfluffle was the Mets apparently are no longer sending out fan packs to young children. So if you had to reinstitute this tradition and create a new Mets fan pack for today's youth, what would you put in it?
I think I would really put an emphasis on the hair. Not actual hair, but something. Henry Mejia, Jacob deGrom. I'd start with that. There would definitely be something in there for Mr. Met. Perhaps a personalized greeting card from Mr. Met, since that could really be signed by, you know, anyone.
I think Mr. Met has to be in there somewhere, though.
Well, yeah.
That's a given.
Absolutely. And I don't know. Maybe one free ticket to a game. That doesn't seem like that would be that hard to do.
No, that seems, you have something like the promenade section.
Yeah. Now, I understand them not doing this at all, but if I were to do it, those would be the things I think I might throw in there.
You might as well. If nothing else, you know, you might be sending it to some kid in California or Taiwan or Sweden. The Mets are a global brand, as this podcast has demonstrated. But yeah, just make it like a nice ticket. Instead of like, you know, one of those, like, that's one of the things I miss. When I go to games, I'm almost always going on StubHub and getting like the print out your own tickets. But I like sort of having the, if you make them nice, it'd be like a cool thing. It doesn't have to be a real ticket. It could be like a fake ticket. I mean, it should be a real ticket, but even if it's just like a voucher, make it like a nice voucher.
Yeah, no, on the occasions that I have gotten the physical tickets from the Mets over the last few years, they've done a pretty good job with them. You know, some years have been better than others in terms of the design, but whether it's former players or current players or the Apple, Mr. Met, you know, Citi Field, Shea Stadium, anything like that, something along those lines would be good. As a guy who still keeps score, it would not be the smallest thing, and it would be a little counterproductive if the kid were coming to the games and you're trying to sell programs, but I don't know, some kind of scorecard. You know, the kid right now might not be quite as attached to Keith Hernandez as even people our age are, or those who are older and, you know, have a better memory of when he played for the Mets than I do. But, you know, if they're interested, if they're watching games, Keith's scorecard certainly comes up a lot. So I might capitalize on that a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how.
If you want to make it easier, all better than what I came up with, so we're just going to talk about yours, I think, for this segment. I would even go so far as maybe like a small, like, Mets or even Mr. Met branded, like, score book.
Right.
Like a simple one. Like, I know you can get a lot of, like, crazy advanced ones out there on the internet now.
I have to order my crazy advanced one on the internet for this year.
Like, even like a fairly simple one, because again, your target audience is 6-year-olds, not their parents that are trying to mooch things off teams. But that's a good way to sort of get them more involved in the game, learning the sort of the rules of baseball, or sort of getting them more as sort of like active watchers. I like that. See, I basically came up with a bunch of Mr. Met stickers to put on their Trapper Keeper, because I don't know anything about children. These are all much better. I did have a joke about the one of my favorite, I went sort of in my current rotation of baseball t-shirts, one of my favorites, I have a sad Mr. Met rain delay t-shirt. I think I actually wore it to our live podcast last summer, but sort of the sad 70s Mr. Met rain delay on like a flask, since, you know, it's the adult asking for this thing anyway.
Yes.
I should just get that made up for my own, like a hip flask, now that I think about it, because you can get like, I assume if you can get like monogrammed hip flasks, it's not much further to like emboss a little sad Mr. Met with an umbrella.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
And if you, not that you could do it nowadays, but you know, I feel like sneaking into Citi Field with a flask of bourbon is never a bad idea to bust out, perhaps during rain delays. So this is episode 105 of Mason Avenue Audio. It's our spring training preview, as you might have guessed. We have our veteran spring training correspondent, Chris McShane, on once again.
Yes, one of these years I'm going to catch up to Rob in a number of spring trainings.
So we'll talk about Mets spring training, which is underway. I'm sure I made this exact same comment last year during our spring training preview, and possibly 2 years ago too. But every year we get excited for spring and spring training, pitchers and catchers, full workouts, and the like. And then it's like, yeah, nothing's... I mean, there's not even spring training games for another, what, week? Middle of next week they start up?
Yes.
And even then, those are cool for like 3 days.
Well, I'm going to be there for the, you know, I guess some of the slightly less cool ones, but I'll deal. I'm there for the for a little bit of everything. Like, while the spring training game is going on, if a pitcher I'm not interested in isn't pitching, I'd rather be roaming the minor league fields. You know, but that's and it's good. We're definitely thankful that the Mets allow that to happen for us. Because if it was just the games themselves, it might get a little old.
And there are a few pitchers that we're not particularly interested in, some of we may discuss in the bullpen preview later in the show. We are kicking off our position-by-position previews. And we're starting with the bullpen because Chris wanted to talk about the bullpen. Don't send me emails. So we're doing that first. Which is fine, because it's normally the kind of thing where you would... It's part of like a spring training preview. Or the bullpen is usually the most fluid area, the area you would expect to see players competing for spots, but like the rest of the Mets' 25-man roster, doesn't look too likely. But as far as the agenda goes, we'll talk a little bit about the spring training storylines that we've seen so far in 2015, none of which are particularly interesting, as they so often are not. I will reiterate the podcast policy, as I am doing right now, in fact, of not talking about anything Terry Collins says in press conferences until he's talking about things that he did in Major League Baseball games that count in the standings. So, you know, not really going to talk about what crazy stuff has he said lately. Actually, we are talking about the shortstop situation. So I guess only, like, Ruben Tejada's competing for a job counts, and we will talk about that. So, right. I think the same thing happened last year. I wasn't going to talk about Henry Mejia being the fifth starter. Then we talked about Henry Mejia not being the fifth starter. But there's not much to talk about because it's just a bunch of, you know, videos of pitchers on 10 packs and photos of Henry Mejia's hair. Which brings us to our first topic. What has been your favorite, such as it is, spring training storyline so far in Mets camp?
My favorite spring training storyline so far in Mets camp. I don't know how much of a storyline it is because of the way that it'll ultimately play out, but Dylan G moving to the bullpen, and I'll just say it on the podcast because it might make me force myself to finish the damn piece, but I've been thinking about whether or not he would be the best of the starting pitchers to make the move, and, you know, kind of just trying to look at whether or not, you know, this is just speculation or an idea, but whether or not Bartolo Colon would be a better relief pitcher, whether Nice would be a better relief pitcher, you know, kind of in isolation, which one of them would be most likely to excel in that role. Now, as you've pointed out in tweets and, you know, in recent days or weeks, an oblique injury will probably resolve all of this, and